You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market and by Area Heating and Cooling. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein. Here's your host, Jason Swigard.
Well, a fine good morning to you all. Here as we wrap up May, a hearty thank you to our veterans out there on this Memorial Day weekend. Please don't forget why we have a three-day weekend here. And just a simple handshake and thank you if you run across them in the course of your weekend of business. Just say thank you for everything that they've done for us. And hopefully you'll see some of them out on the golf course this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean,
weather's going to get better, but not today. Today's the day to do chores, but it's supposed to be in the 70s, mostly sunny on Sunday and Monday. So if you got the to-do list at some point, get it done today. It's going to be a little drizzly, a little cool.
Now, let me ask you this. How many people do you think looked ahead into the future and thought to themselves, I got myself a three-day weekend. I'm going to schedule this thing out so I can go on vacation and actually golf somewhere else but Oregon.
Like, there's got to be some bros out there. No, this would be a great weekend to get down to Bandon.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity, maybe up north, if you're looking to get up around the Seattle area or get out to Coeur d'Alene out in Idaho, who knows where you might want to go. So,
dude, Coeur d'Alene is amazing. You go there and it's like idyllic, picturesque. You land in and it feels like you're at like a summer camp for adults on steroids.
That Central Oregon's going to be a great weekend out there. Black Butte, Sun River, Pronghorn, Tokatee, whatever, take your pick.
There's you ever been out to Coeur d'Alene?
I have not been to Coeur d'Alene. Been to Spokane many, many, many times. It's usually in the winter, however.
Have you ever, what would you say was your favorite, long extended golf trip you've ever had?
Oh, I don't know, probably Black Butte at this point. I went to Bandon once. But it was several years ago before all the current courses were there. Mm. And so I'm very much trying to figure out how to get back down there and be able to take it all in. But you got to have a little bit of budget to properly enjoy it.
Well, that's why you got to cash out here and, you know.
Well, we'll see. We're working on that. If you notice, Harold not with us this morning. He is enjoying his holiday weekend with some family in an undisclosed location in Colorado, but we will catch up with him for Ask the Pros.
Undisclosed? Did he do that just because he knew that we would find him and get him on the show anyway? Is he like,
No. That's just me being radio show host and using my extensive vocabulary from my private liberal arts education.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Not my public school.
That's how you make the big bucks, my
exactly.
friend.
Exactly. I've enlisted plenty of help, though, today. Our good buddy Jeff Sanders, executive VP for golf events for Lagadier. He the man for the Winco Foods Portland Open. We'll catch up with him at 8:15 this morning, find out what's been going on as we're just about 11 events on theweb.com tour away from figuring out who the next 25 PGA Tour golfers will be out at Pumpkin Ridge. Harold will join us at 8:30 and ask the pros. And then very pleased, this was sort of last minute, so a huge thank you to Vincent Johnson, former Oregon State golfer. You'll remember him, got the first ever Charlie Sifford exemption playing in the LA Open down there about a decade ago. Hard to believe that was a decade ago. But since he's been named director of golf for the City of Portland Golf Courses, there was an article in the Oregonian this week kind of maybe showing those city courses in some financial peril. We'll get his assessment of how accurate maybe that article is portraying. Is that more of a city government looking at it on a spreadsheet sort of thing? But also find out other ways. I think sometimes we overlook those city courses being Rose City, Heron Lakes, East Moreland, Colwood, and Redtail, and find out a little bit more about the programs and opportunities to get out there and enjoy those courses. I've had the opportunity to play all of them, and you're going to find. It's great golfing experience. So we'll check in with Vincent and see how things are going as the director of golf and ways to be more involved. Work those into your regular rotation. So plenty to do on this holiday weekend. Wilza alongside. Did Brooks Koepka capture your imagination last weekend?
As a sort of non-golf
You are a
fan.
Very much non You are the good, you're the litmus test to see all the hype. You had a huge lead going into Sunday and then nearly gacked it away on one of the toughest courses you'll ever see.
Now, see, I think that's what caught my attention, really, was I thought it was going to be a repeat of Spieth at the Masters. Like, that's the most recent horrible meltdown that I can really remember. I think that was 2012, right? Mm-hmm. Where Spieth was at the Masters and just completely blew the huge lead. And I thought that was going to happen because we went into Sunday thinking...
Obviously, that was 2016.
Yeah, we went into Sunday thinking this thing's completely wrapped up. And I think one of the things that I took away from this tourney was the fact that we don't pay enough attention to Brooks Koepka. We honestly don't. This guy's really, really good.
Yep. Four majors in his last eight starts, overpowering length, the accuracy... but you saw the conditions really kick in on Sunday. I don't think people fully appreciated how difficult that golf course played. It was over 7,400 yards to begin with. Those are narrow fairways. The rough was ridiculous. If you found it, there were a couple of holes that if you got in the rough off the fairway, you could barely advance at 75 yards. So you were looking at bogey, even if you could putt.
Oh, yeah, and I think one of the more interesting things, too, is that after he came out of it with the win, everybody said, we don't pay attention to Brooks Koepka as much because he's just not as good with the media as Tiger was, right? Like, everybody is set on that bar with Tiger, but what people don't realize is Tiger's awful with the media.
Yeah, that's the part. Tiger's electric on the golf course, the fist pumping, getting people fired up, that sort of thing, which yeah. Brooks is very much in control. Dustin Johnson is that same way. So from that standpoint, I think it's, hard to wrap your arms around Brooks as a golfer, but
well, physically too, that guy's ripped.
But the thoughts about, he's not good with the media and like the way Tiger was. No, Tiger's not. Phil's good with the media. Spieth is actually pretty good with the media. Justin Thomas is good with the media.
You can even say Rory McIlroy's
pretty
good with the media.
Rory's better with the media now. He understands it a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to see just three more weeks until we get to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. We'll have more on that in the coming weeks. But as always, let's get started. Let's go inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right, we'll whip through these as quickly as possible. All five major tours in action. The European Tour actually in Europe this week. Made in Denmark, presented by Freja at the Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort in Farsø, Denmark. Bernd Wiesberger, the Austrian, is your leader currently at 9 under par. They just wrapped up round 3. One shot clear of Robert McIntyre, the Scotsman. You've got Pablo Larrazábal, the Spaniard, in a group at 6 under. Lee Westwood at 4 under. So some better fields here in the European Tour as we start to get closer to the British Open. The women are back in action this week on the LPGA Tour. One of their regular longtime stops out at Kings Mill in Williamsburg, Virginia, the Pure Silk Championship. And a couple of youngsters looking for their first ever LPGA Tour wins on top of the leaderboard. Bronte Law, the youngster out of UCLA. Jackie Conkolino, who's been on tour for a number of years out of Vanderbilt. They are both at 9 under, tied with Jennifer Song. Carlotta Segonda at 8 under. Nelly Korda, once again in the mix, at 7 under. And then lurking behind them, down at 5 under par, Jessica Korda, Brittany Lincecum, Charlie Hull, Brooke Henderson, Anna Nordqvist. So a lot of big names there. If they have a good day on Saturday, moving day, could put themselves into contention. The Web.com Tour is in Illinois, Glenville, Illinois, at the Glen Club for the Evans Scholar Invitational. Rob Oppenheim, the veteran, 12 under par after a 7 under 65 in round 2. He's got a one-shot lead over Vince Covello, who's looking for his second win on tour this season. But last week, it was Robbie Shelton picking up his second win in 3 weeks, the youngster out of Alabama. If he gets one more win on tour, gets the automatic promotion. That is still intact. He moved up to number one in the race, the points race now, not the money race, but the points rank. for the top 25 getting their tour card. So we'll see if he actually makes it to Pumpkin Ridge in Portland. He could win again on tour out of that unbelievable program at the University of Alabama over the last few years. Our buddy Scott Harrington making the cut. He is at 3 under. He had a 567 in round two. So he trying to keep himself at least in contention, trying to move things up. He's 60th right now in the points list. That gets him into the web.com finals if he can hold that position. Another major going on that's on the Champions Tour. The senior PGA is at famed Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. They're in a round three delay due to lightning, but Paul Broadhurst trying to go back-to-back. He was the senior PGA champion last year. He currently is in the lead at 4 under par. This course playing ridiculously difficult. There are only 6 players in red numbers. Esteban Toledo in second, 2 under, and then Scott McCarron, Jerry Kelly, Retief Goosen among those at 1 under par. Rocco Mediate, a former champion, at +2, and Kirk Triplett there at +1, Corey Pavin at +2. So I believe there were 9 former major winners in the field this week for the KitchenAid Senior PGA. As for the regular PGA Tour, back to Texas, famed Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth. For the 72nd time, they're hosting a PGA Tour event. It is now the Charles Schwab Challenge. Jonas Blixt is your leader, 9 under par, looking for his first win on tour since 2017. Kevin Na, an 8 under 62 in round two. He's tied with first round leader Tony Finau at 8 under par. Nick Watney, Jim Furyk, Jordan Spieth, Jason Duffner, all at 5 under. So a nice field in the PGA event following a major. You always wonder sometimes now with the compressed schedule how that is going to work. Guys, usually after a major, especially if they were in contention, as Jordan Spieth was, maybe take a week off and kind of just decompress before they ramp it back up. But I think Jordan Spieth found something there with a top three finish at the PGA. He's made over 308 feet a putt so far at Colonial. If he can just work out the driver and get himself in the fairway, he could be getting himself ready for the U.S. Open in Pebble. You guys having fun in there? Or just wondering when I'm going to take a breath?
You go ahead and take a breath. I got the clock, baby. I'm looking at it. I'm ready. I'm ready anytime you are.
Well, this is my one bet. I had to get through this, and then I got lots of help the rest of the show.
Hey, man, I'm making just really good, consistent, intense eye contact with you. You know I'm here for you.
I know. But this is sort of my thing.
Usually I'm not, but leaderboards,
I can just rattle them off here. But, no, watch out for Jordan Spieth. He's in his hometown. He's played. He knows Colonial like the back of his hand. He could have a big weekend. And look for him. If he's got the putter going, if he can straighten out the driver, he may be a big favorite when we get to Pebble in about a month. All right, that's what's going on the tours this weekend, this holiday weekend. When we come back, it's our opportunity to get back with Jeff Sanders, Executive VP for Golf Events for Lagadier Golf. Find out what's going on the web.com tour. Figure out where he's at, what he thinks of Brooks Koepka, his PGA Tour, PGA Championship victory. And things are ramping up for the Winco Foods Portland Open. We're just a couple of months away from them being out at Pumpkin Ridge. So we'll check in with him next as we get going here. Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. 8:16 here this morning on this holiday weekend. Harold is vacationing with his family, but he's going to hop on the line at 8:30. And then Vincent Johnson, director of golf for the City Courses for Portland, going to join us in studio for 8:45, and we'll talk about the recent article that came out about their current financial state. But joining us on the line right now, the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, our good buddy Jeff Sanders, Executive VP Golf Events, Lagadier Golf, the man for the Winco Foods Portland Open. But where are you? I'm assuming you've got a great tee time. I don't know, Pinehurst maybe, TPC Sawgrass, something like that. How you doing, Jeff?
You know what? Great. How are you doing this morning, pal? I'm in Coronado, California. I'm down here visiting a good friend of mine. You probably remember this guy, Lenny Clements, played the PGA Tour for 20-plus years. Leaderboard Lenny, they call him, been my pal since we're 15 years old. So we're walking the dog here in Coronado this morning down here in this beautiful part of the world. So we're not slumming it. It's all good.
Well, that's good. I would expect nothing less from you as we get ready. We'll talk about the Winco Foods Portland Open coming up in a little bit, but I was curious about your thoughts watching the PGA Championship last week. Brooks tearing up Bethpage Black there the first couple of days and then holding on for dear life when the weather kicked in. He's won four majors in his last eight starts, but seemingly not interested or not focused for regular PGA Tour events. Have you ever seen anything, and is there anybody going back when you were coming up or when you were watching golfers where you saw somebody just dial it in for the majors, but then in regular PGA events was just kind of whatever?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was actually at the PGA on Long Island last week and got to watch Brooks play a few holes. But, I mean, the guy is, he hits it, as you know, 4 miles and hits it straight, which is unbelievable. But, yeah, he gets up for the majors. I mean, the guy gets up for the majors, and he's played fantastic. And, you know, I don't understand why he doesn't play better in regular tour events. But, you know, hey, good for him. I mean, he's figured out that, you know, what to do in those majors. And you know, the thing he's got, and most of them have a lot of rough, of course, and he hits it so far, and he keeps it in the fairway at the same time. I mean, but I don't, you know, I've never seen that either. You know, Tiger was a little bit that way, though, too. You know, he's won his fair share of majors, and Jack, obviously. But Brooks has got something going here recently that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Tiger more was, there were particular courses, Torrey Pines, Jack's course at the Memorial, certain courses that once he figured them out and he dialed in and he loved them, he'd just tear them up. But, yeah, Brooks is amazing. I'm glad you mentioned you were out there at the PGA Championship. I don't think people realized how much when the weather kicked in on Sunday, how difficult that course became.
It was unbelievable. Oh. It got really hard. And the wind started blowing more than you could tell on television, which made it really hard. And so, you know, Dustin Johnson made a run. He hit a couple of weak putts coming down the stretch. As we know, he had a shot at Brooks as Brooks was trying to hold on to win. But had he made those couple of putts there, it would have been interesting. Of course, Brooks kind of let him back in the door, too. So, but it was interesting. Those two guys were friends. I know they played a lot of golf together. I was watching them kind of know each other there. But Koepka hung in there. He made some big putts when he needed to, and he got it done. But the golf course played really hard, really hard. It's you know, it'll be interesting to watch to see the Ryder Cup there. When that'll be a great Ryder Cup venue. Hopefully, the United States team will have an advantage there, I would think.
Oh, no question. And 2024. We can't wait for that. As you go around to the different courses, and especially a course like that, it's kind of tree-lined, do you pick up notes maybe to come back to maybe adjust the setup at Pumpkin for the Winco Foods Portland Open, maybe narrowing the fairways, letting the rough grow more, or do you kind of leave that to the course superintendents and the web.com guys?
Well, I kind of leave it to them because, truthfully, at Pumpkin Ridge and most of the golf courses on the web.com tour, you know, we're just lucky to play a club like Pumpkin, and coming in there and growing the rough too deep is not going to be good for the members on the way in. You know, we're very careful about that. So we make the rough a little longer for the guys, so it's penal, but never as deep as you see it at a major championship on the PGA Tour. But we let the guys from web.com come in. We basically tell them, look, just grow the rough a little bit, but don't go crazy because, again, we want to be able to play at Pumpkin for a long time. And, you know, you got to watch out for the membership. You know, it's not like you just show up there and turn their golf course into a, you know, tighten the fairways and grow the rough a foot. And next thing you know, you're not invited back. So got to be careful about that. But at the same time, the golf course at Pumpkin Ridge, which Hollow plays very hard during the tournament, but these guys are just really good. You know, as you and I have talked, Jason, over the years, I mean, it is PGA Tour golf on the web.com tour now. These guys are coming right out. I see where Finau is, you know, in second place, and Tony got his card out at Winco. At Winco Foods Portland Open, as we know, has his whole family there. And, you know, I saw this morning he's in a good spot. So it doesn't matter what week it is. I mean, a couple of weeks ago we had two guys finish 1-2. They played, and actually both came to media day, you know. Yeah. Joel Damon and the other guy, I can't remember his name right now, it's drawn a blank, but the point is, it is PGA Tour golf, and it's fun to watch, and it's going to be awesome.
No question. Chatting here with our buddy Jeff Sanders, Executive VP for Golf Events for Lagardère Golf. And now the name on the web.com tour, Robbie Shelton, won his second event last week in three starts, both in Tennessee. And just another University of Alabama graduate, Justin Thomas, Trey Mullinax, take your pick. He's the next one coming up. Will we even see him in Portland? I guess that's the question. Now he's in line for that three-win exemption to go right to the PGA Tour. Do you think we'll see him come to Portland?
Certainly he'll come play. If he wins a third one, he won't. But, you know, you never know. Sometimes these guys like to play, especially at Pumpkin Ridge, like to come out to Portland in the beautiful time of the year. And I shouldn't say he won't play. I mean, even if he wins three times, he might want to come out and play. Because the significance of the tournament being the top 25, you know, cardholder event, obviously that's a big event on the web. So, you know, a guy like that could play. But he is a great player. He'll be the next guy that comes out there that wins right away when he gets his tour card. And it won't surprise me. You know, now we've got, close to 600 wins now. And these guys are just going right out and winning. So it's been fun to watch the tournament grow in Portland. You know, we do six tournaments, but we love the Portland Open. We love the tournament, and it's been fun to watch the Portland community embrace the tournament the way that they have.
No question. And for people, one of the great things, kind of, it was sad to see what happened on Sunday to Harold Varner III, but he was one of the guys. I think he was number 25 when he got his card 3 years ago or 4 years ago here. The pure excitement and joy on his face, knowing that he had made it. And he's one of the guys that has never been back. He's still looking for his first win on the PGA Tour. But the ability to get up close with these guys when they come to Portland, find a little bit out about their personalities, their families are usually with them, somebody from their family at this point, especially when they're in contention to get their card, and walking alongside of them, you can find out a lot about the guys. And Harold Varner III was one I've been rooting for ever since.
Well, it was fun to be with Harold after he got his card on that Sunday night in the clubhouse here at Witch Hall. They always have a celebration. All 25 guys get their card. The PGA Tour does a nice job of throwing a celebratory dinner for them and giving them their cards, and of course, on the 18th green. And most time their families are there and they're invited. And, you know, it's the biggest deal that ever happened to these kids, you know, when they get their card. That's their dream. You know, that's their dream come true. They've been trying to get their card for years. And now, of course, you have to play the web.com before you can play the PGA Tour. In most cases, that's the qualifier versus when I was playing, there was a qualifying school. But now you qualify for the web. So all these guys, whether it's Cameron Champ or Aaron Wise or Justin Thomas or Tony Finau or Harold Varner III, these guys all came through the Winco Foods Portland Open. And it gives us a chance to get a glimpse of these guys, you know, in our hometown. A lot of people have played Witch Hall at Pumpkin Ridge now, so they can kind of compare where they hit it versus where these guys hit it. And it's just fun to watch and fun to sort of see them come through and then go out and do big things on the PGA Tour right away.
No question. Tickets available online, wincogolf.com or wincofoodsportlandopen.com. I know you guys are getting the final preparations in there, but there is one change for people that are coming back. The Junior Clinic, you're moving it from Wednesday to Saturday. This is kind of cool, so it'll be Saturday afternoon, but some of the guys that don't make the cut but are sticking around will be there for the Junior Clinic this year.
That's right. It's really great. You know, we love to support the kids and grow the game of golf. And having the clinic on Saturday now, the kids can come out with their families and watch these guys play on Saturday. If guys are all that made the cut, of course. And then the ones that don't, you know, the ones that play earlier in the morning will come out and do a clinic for the kids. So what I love about it is the kids get to hit shots, not just stand there and watch guys hit shots. They get to hit their own ball while these guys give them a lesson. And that's very unique. No one else does that on the web.com tour. It's interactive. So we've got clubs for the kids. They can bring their own if they'd like. But, no, we want to help grow this game of golf in Portland. And, you know, I know you're going to be speaking to the Vincent Johnson about the public golf course situation in Portland. I read that from down here. I was here, and I read it online. And I was sad to see what I read there. I hope there's a way to fix that problem because I'd hate to lose our great public golf courses in Portland, Oregon. They're a very special golf course, been there a long time, and we got to embrace those golf courses and figure out a way to get the finances figured out.
No question, and we'll chat with Vincent in about 20 minutes or so about how we can get involved, whether it's just playing more rounds or if there's other sorts of programs we can get involved with for him. Quickly, before we let you finish your walk there with Lenny, anything else you guys are cooking up? Anything? I know the Grove is getting big on 12, and I know there's all sorts of plans to make it bigger and better.
Number 12 is going to be awesome this year. We've got 25 breweries and wineries. They're going to be in the Grove this year. A lot of free samples for the fans. Yeah, it's really a cool deal. And we're going to put a party deck out there behind the green, it looks like, and just make it a lot of fun. You know, our goal for the tournament is to put on a first-class tournament, but also make it fun for the fans. You know, make sure the fan experiences the best on the tour. And have things for people to do other than just watch golf, which, by the way, it's great golf. But we want to have some fun out there and do some other things. So the Grove's the place to be. You know, we'll be giving away cars for holding ones and having a few beers and having some fun, you know. And the tournament continues to grow, and we just want to make sure that people get a chance to come out and see it. Remember, 100% of all ticket sales go to charity in Portland. So that's also a nice little thing. You can support any charity you'd like. You know, junior golf, for example, and or your favorite high school golf team or whatever makes sense. So we want to do what we can for the community in Portland, Oregon.
Well, we always appreciate it. We are looking forward to it. I know you'll be back in Portland here before too long dialing it up. So always a chair for you in here Saturday mornings as well. Jeff Sanders, Executive VP for Golf Events for Lagardère Golf and the Winco Foods Portland Open. Thanks so much, Jeff, and we'll see you soon back here in Portland.
Okay, pal. Have a great day. Have a great day.
Will do. Jeff Sanders there with the Winco Foods Portland Open again. WincoGolf.com or WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com. Tickets, all the event information is there, volunteer information as well if you want to get involved with that. They really do have a great volunteer program for it as well. So we'll have much, much more on that in the coming weeks. When we come back, time to find Harold. Somewhere out in Colorado. We'll talk to the pros. Talked a little bit about putting grips. You may have heard Tony Finau switched up his putting grip in the final round of the PGA Championship. Might have found something there, and he's dialed it in. He's in contention this week at Colonial. So we'll talk to Harold about deciding, going about putting grips, what they all do, how to change it, how to practice it, when to put it in an implementation as we make the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Making the turn here, 831, Golf in the Northwest, Center and Saint coming up and next as they will do all sorts of breakdowns. Maybe they'll go breaking down Drake's sideline antics as we get ready for game six. We got the GM bro, Neil O'Shea, going to be here for at least another 5 years running the Blazers. How
definitely
do we feel about
that? Definitely going to be a lot of hot GM bro talk.
Hot GM bro talk. And then, of course, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. If you don't want to watch the 478 cutaways to Drake on the sidelines, you can just enjoy the game via ESPN Radio. We'll have the call here on the Fan pregame at 4:30. Tip at 5:30. The Oregon Ducks final baseball game of the season. They take on number one UCLA. That'll be over on 9:10 beginning at 3:45. But right now, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline as a guest on his own show, it's Harold Bluestein from an undisclosed location in Colorado. How are you, Harold?
Hey, I'm great, Swag. I'm going to disclose the location. I'm in Estes Park, Colorado.
Where is Estes Park, Colorado, in relation to, Denver?
Well, it is east, west, and I'm lost. It's northwest of Denver. It's west of Boulder.
Ah.
So you head through Lyons, Colorado, and up into Estes Park. It's the entrance to the Rocky Mountain National Park.
Oh, well, there you go. I imagine there will be a bit of traffic going through there this weekend then.
Well, it's getting pretty busy. We're at the Discovery Lodge, and this is the best value in town, or so they claim. They are hiring, so tell Will there's a possibility of getting some extra work. Dogs are welcome. They've got free Wi-Fi and a hot tub. I've got a great view of the Rocky Mountain Range right here.
Are you
here.
Running for mayor of Estes Park now? What's going on?
Well, we used to live here. So,
ah.
This is, yeah, Susie and I lived here back in the 70s and had a great time, brought up our kids, one of our kids or two in Estes Park. We have a lot of friends here, so we came back to visit.
Well, by the way, Harold, what do you think? All millennials just want a job and a hot dog? You think that's what'll entice us to move?
That's my impression. I could be wrong, but that is absolutely my impression. And maybe a hot dog with everything on it is what I understand.
Yeah, some sriracha, and make sure it's vegan, too.
That's right.
All right, Harold. Well, this is our Ask the Pros segment, you being the resident PGA pro. I was reading Tony Finau in contention this week at Colonial. He was in contention for a moment there at the PGA Championship, but then I read he changed his putting grip for the final round of the PGA Championship, and that seems like an awful drastic sort of switch in the middle of a major. I guess, how often are these pros monkeying with their putting grips? And for the average hack, is there an advantage to changing to a particular grip?
Well, they're always searching for something. If you can pick up a stroke or two in a round of golf, that means a lot of money to these guys. So they're always looking at what their putting is going on. Changing a grip is not a big deal. Changing putters, they do quite often. So that's the cool thing. Hey, are you hearing me okay, or is there a shadow in the background?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay, cool. All right. So anyway, Tony Finau, he hits a lot of misses a lot of fairways lately, hits a lot of greens, playing really well this week, did switch to a claw grip. And for players who are trying to make a lot of money out there, stroke screen putting is important, and making a grip change sometimes or a putter change can kind of get the juices flowing and get you out of the quality of the stroke in a sense and get you into just, okay, I'm going to set up and hit it. So sometimes just a simple change can have a pretty big impact. I do use a claw grip, and I believe in it. One of the problems that players have with putting is they're not sure whether they're, if you're left hand low like Jordan Spieth, you're pulling more with your left hand than you are hitting the ball with your right hand. There are players that with a claw or a conventional grip might be thinking in terms of using both hands at the same time. I think in terms of hitting the ball with my right hand. So there's that issue you have, right hand, left hand, both hands, and this can create a lot of problems for players. I think what Finau is finding is that he can hit the ball with his right hand now and feel pretty comfortable that the putter head is not going to twist or rotate in his hand as it comes into impact.
So for those of us that are looking, you know, just your decent amateur player, handicapper, 10, whatever, if we're wanting to experiment with putting grips, one, talk to your pro to make sure you got it correct. How long, though, do you want to practice it before you actually employ it out in a competitive round?
Well, competitively, I'd say that's a little different. I would say to any player, try a new grip. If it feels good right away or pretty good, try it and stick with it for a little bit, a week or so, or a couple of rounds, and see how it works. I would, for the amateur player, not change your grip going into a competition as Tony Finau did, because it's too easy to second guess yourself and have to go back to another grip or your old grip. So you don't want to be bouncing back and forth. There's enough problems with putting without being confused about what you want to do or what the process is. So I would say if it feels pretty good to start with, try it. If it feels like, you know, crap right away, then don't do it. But by all means, experiment from a traditional grip, which is the reverse overlap where the index finger comes down over the top of the right hand if you're right-handed. Or you can let the index finger of the right hand go down the shaft and hit the ball like that. All kinds of different grips that we learn about or can see on the tour today. And I would just encourage players to try them. If it feels good, go for it.
All righty. Vincent Johnson going to join us here in the next segment and show. Harold, I did want to get your thoughts, though, on the PGA championship last week. We saw the conditions were very benign the first couple of days when Brooks Koepka went out and lapped the field. And then on Sunday showed its teeth when the weather kicked in and he hung on for dear life. What did you take away from that PGA championship?
Well, I can tell you the conditions were tough, and people are looking at Brooks Koepka and saying, well, he came back to the field. Well, yes, he did, but under those conditions, it's very difficult. Although he, you know, four bogeys in a row had to be a little bit upsetting to him, but he showed that he is a true champion. He weathered that storm, hung in there, realized that, you know what? I only have to win by one. I don't have to win by 10. History is, you know, they don't always say, hey, he won by this many strokes. I think Brooks Koepka is quite a, he's quite a great player. And unfortunately, he hasn't been getting the love that he deserves. My takeaway is that when you're playing in tough conditions, most of the field is going to be left behind. They can't compete in that wind. The wind is very difficult to concentrate in. There's so many more considerations you have to make over club selection, shot pattern, sight lines, all kinds of things like that. And guess what? World number one and a guy who's won 4 of 8 majors that he's played in, they can handle the pressure.
Well, he certainly handled it. We'll see what happens at Pebble here in a few weeks. Harold, thanks so much for making a few minutes for us here as you're out there with family enjoying the Rocky Mountains. We will look forward to having you back in studio next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm going to head down to the Continental Breakfast right now, and I'll have a waffle on you.
Oh, sounds good. Well, say hi to the family for us, and we'll see you back here. Safe travels, my friend.
All right, take care.
All righty, Harold Bluestein there checking in with us a little bit on putting grips. You can follow more at haroldbluestein.com if you're interested in more of his teaching. Or go buy his book, too. We're trying to help the man sell some books, move some copies, so move some products. So hopefully check all that out. But when we come back, we want to break. Vincent Johnson is here. He's going to join us in studio, director of golf for the City Courses for the city of Portland. We are so excited. The article on Oregon Live came out earlier this week that showed the city golf courses in a little bit of financial despair. So we'll find out his opinion. Is that an accurate depiction? And also just what's going on with the city courses? What are the programs available and how can golfers go out and enjoy them and help the city by playing and getting involved in other ways? Keep those golf courses going along for us as we wrap things up. Coming down the stretch here, it's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Thanks again to Jeff Sanders and to Harold Bluestein for hopping on the line with us here as we wrap things up in the business of golf. But couldn't be more pleased to see our good friend Vincent Johnson decided to join us in studio on short notice. We saw the article on the city golf courses there in the Oregon Live, and I was scratching my head going, where did this come from? And director of golf now, you've been in that position for, I want to say, 18 months, 24 months?
Actually, about eight, since last September.
Oh, last September, yeah. Okay. And so former Oregon State golfer, you remember on Big Break, the first ever recipient of the Charlie Sifford exemption. And playing down there at Riviera, and I looked and I go, oh my goodness, that was a decade ago.
Yeah,
it feels. Does like it seem that, like that long has passed?
It's really bizarre looking at the pictures and knowing those memories. Like, they're still so fun. You're like, wow, that was 10 years ago. That's unbelievable.
Well, and I know you're still out there. I think I saw you at one of the local qualifiers for the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Was that the one at Waverly?
It was. You know, I was. I missed by two. The last fairway I hit on the day was three. So I scrambled for about 4.5 hours. So my score actually wasn't that bad for barely being able to find my golf ball all day.
No kidding. But so you're still there. But as you mentioned, recently named as the director of golf for the city-owned courses. And so we saw the article. We'll post it again on the website at 1080thefan.com or at 1080thefan. But did you know that this was going on or that this was going to come out? And two, what was the initial reaction within Parks and Rec and you guys out there at the courses when you saw this claim that the city's courses are on the verge of bankruptcy?
Well, you know, I think there's you know, possibly two components of this. The audit actually was validating for us. You know, we have a golf strategic plan, and we've taken a lot of action since the 2017 year. And a lot of their findings and recommendations really align with what we have been doing. So it's a validation, really. I feel like with a lot of the attention that we've gotten, perhaps, you know, kind of figuring out where the golf program is currently at, has been difficult, you know, kind of getting through that. And also, you know, the audit is kind of backwards looking where we're at the current day and looking forward.
Well, and your degree's in finance from Oregon State, graduated there in 3 years. And so you weren't just down there playing golf. Everybody's like, no, you've got a background and you, I think, knew early on you were going to play as long as a career in golf was going to go. But I get the feeling you had a vision for being in the golf industry even when you were at Oregon State.
Absolutely. And I always wanted to have an impact. You know, I know how big it was, all the mentorship that I had in the game. And so to be able to have some way of giving back has been pretty incredible. And obviously, what better way than to help, you know, provide and make golf affordable to the public in the city I grew up in.
No question. And you grew up, played at David Douglas, so I'm sure you played on all those city courses as a kid growing up in competitions. So for those that aren't familiar, Rose City, Colwood, Heron Lakes, Eastmoreland, and then Redtail. But Redtail's a unique situation. You guys own the course, but not really operating it, those sort of things. So what is the current state of those five courses together, that, and what is your jurisdiction over all of them at this point?
Yeah,
in the
so
city?
We oversee. The difference is we maintain the golf courses and we contract out the clubhouse operations. But bottom line, with where we're at now, 2017, obviously, we required a subsidy. And I think the big thing for the public to understand is where we're at now, the swift and immediate action that we took with Commissioner Fritz's leadership and then the continuation with Commissioner Fish now. We've built our fund balance. We've actually made money last year, and we've made money enough money this year to where we're at the point where if we would have experienced the same weather we saw in 2017 now, we wouldn't require a subsidy. So it's been a lot of work. We've been really busy. There's more work to do, but we've made a lot of really great strides in a really short amount of time.
And so how, from a round standpoint, is there, you know, is it just a matter of getting people out to play more rounds to just give the more revenue boost to allow you to hire more superintendents or greenskeepers or whatever for that? Or is there more to it at this point?
Honestly, it is. I mean, obviously our activity, right? I mean, the more money we make, the more we can invest in, and the better things can be in our program. So ultimately it is about people playing more golf, and we're working to do that. Obviously we have that is our job, right? It is to make golf affordable, accessible. It's easy to get in, and to break down those barriers that have existed over decades. So, you know, that's what we take very seriously, and all of our thinking is towards how to build the next generation of golfers.
Chen here with Vincent Johnson, Director of Golf for the City Courses here in Portland. What are some of the programs, though? I know, you know, trying to bring golf, you know, you go back to when you were 6 and 7 and golf club put in your hands for the first time, and it took. So I imagine you're the right guy to go now to the schools and the after-school programs, and the PGA Junior League is kicking in. We're seeing that's a big push. We've seen these PGA Championship events and Susie Whaley there with the commercials with Steph Curry and Alex Morgan. What are some of the other programs, though, through the city where this money is going to help get those players that'll be eventually playing more rounds?
So, yeah, so we do, you know, we've partnered with you know, PJ, but also with the First Tee. They provide a lot of programming, especially out at Colwood. That's a very, very key partner in growing the future golfers. We know that, that's the easiest time to learn golf. From just being able to learn things when you're younger and ultimately have the time to do it. It's easiest to learn the game as a kid. But right now we're also focusing on adult, getting the generation, a lot of people say millennials didn't really pick up the game. So trying to get it to where adults who didn't play, how can they get into the game? Because they're going to help change that financial picture sooner than the junior generation coming up.
What are you finding is the way to connect maybe with that, 18 to 28-year-old generation that didn't get brought up in the game because their parents, played all the time and took them out to the course? Where are they, how are they looking at the game of golf, and where are they finding an entry point that fits their lifestyle?
Well, I'll say this. I think one thing that's really big is golf needs more perspectives, right? More viewpoints. And so one thing we've actually done with our golf advisory committee, we've appointed, Commissioner Fish appointed four new members who have helped diversify by age, gender, race, our committee. Point is that, having millennial aged people give input on what they're looking for, what appeals to them, is a big part in answering those questions. So having people perhaps that have been in the industry know what has worked, perhaps those are, not all the solutions reside there.
Is there pressure from other aspects of the city government on the golf courses wondering, is this the best use of land? Land is scarce in the city, obviously. Is there any pressure of, if we sold maybe one of them that was underperforming, took the cash to apply to the other ones to boost them up? Do you feel the pressure of whatever politics is being played at downtown at City Hall?
Well, I'll say two things. One, again, because we've in the short term, again, long term, we still have work to do, but we have corrected to where, our forecasts show that we're going to be profitable, and we've been profitable since the subsidy. So as an enterprise fund, we're required to make our own money and cover our expenses. We are good there where we're at. But ultimately, when you're talking about, land use, one thing that I think the public, it's a really valuable thing to know is we maintain over 800 acres of green space without taxpayer money. And so that's a big piece. People do want green space, right? We do value that in Portland. And so we're able to help provide that.
Well, and say that again, I think some of this, they see this one quote in 2007, an $800,000 taxpayer funded bailout. And everybody's thinking, this is all my city taxes going to that. That was a one-time thing. Your operating budget is based on your revenues, right?
Right, absolutely. And so that's why it was such an unprecedented year. And that's why, at the time there was a lot of swift action being taken, because we know that wasn't acceptable. And that's not how our program, that's not how our system's set up.
Vincent Johnson joining us here, Director of Golf for the City Courses in Portland. What's the next step in terms of golf? What sort of programs? You talked about the advisory committee. What are some things that you are looking at in terms maybe of a recommendation that you're moving towards implementation?
Right. So we've done, some piloting with some junior golf clinics and some women's golf clinics at community centers. So one big thing that golf is, I think, working to do is to meet people where they're at. Oftentimes we think about how we're going to help the beginners that are at our courses, which is vital. But you also have to remember there are a lot of people that aren't here, and many that don't know about us or know that the city has a golf program. So information and outreach is a huge, huge part of that, because, bottom line, getting out on that grass, get on the course, we golfers know how amazing that is. We have some beautiful properties, but not enough people know exactly and all that the golf program has to offer.
For those that are experienced, that do know about the courses, that want to go out and play, that maybe say, the greens fees are a little too high compared to some of the other privately operated courses. Is there any, how much do you look at your greens fees and say, if we lowered them by X, we'd see an increase in the amount of rounds. Mm-hmm. Is there that sort of discussion going on?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're very aware. I mean, that is our mission, right? I mean, we have our prices where we're at to make it to where we can cover our, our expenses and make golf as affordable as possible to the public. One thing is, since the recession, we held off on fee increases for quite some time, but ultimately over time, fees do need to increase, but we are very sensitive that, and we never forget, and lose sight of our mission, which is we want people to be able to afford to play golf, but there's also a lot of promotions and different time slots, and different pricing, times that are less expensive. So your peak times are going to be more expensive, but ultimately there are some options that are really viable as far as having a smaller golf budget still playing.
Is there any discussion of the city taking back operations of the clubhouses and the pro shops and those sorts of things?
No, and to be frank, I mean, we really have a lot of faith in our operators. I mean, they've done a great job, you know, at all five facilities. And to think about the years that they've put in and what they provided the community, we couldn't be happier to work with them, and they've proved and provided a lot of success for us.
Vincent Johnson, director of golf, the city courses here in Portland. For people that want to find out more, get tee times, is there a single website they can go to, or is each course?
To find out more, you can go to portlandoregon.gov/parks/golf, and we have a lot of golf information there for you.
Fantastic. We'd love to get you back in when we have some more time, but it's good to see you, my friend. Good to see you doing well. Hopefully nobody will panic there. It's good to kind of get this and know the courses are okay here.
Yeah, I appreciate you seeing you again, and thanks for your time.
There you go. Vincent Johnson, director of golf for City Parks here in Portland. Thanks again to Jeff Sanders and to Harold Bluestein for hopping on with us. Sinner and Saint coming up next. Then tonight here on The Fan, 4:30 pregame, 5:30 tip, game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto Raptors can, with a win, go to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Four Wheel, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.
So anyway,
I'm a super senior.
So I'm sure they had her out beating balls until the cows came home.